Welcome to the Doc Talk Podcast. I'm Kevin Consman, Managing Editor of ACP Live. Today's episode features a discussion on one of the most promising biologic agents to emerge in allergic care and research, dupilumab, and its newly reported benefit for severe atopic dermatitis in patients aged 6 to 11 years old as per new Phase 3 Liberty AD Peds trial findings. These findings, which were initially planned for a late-breaking presentation at the American Academy of Dermatology annual meeting prior to its cancellation last month, were presented this weekend instead at the Revolutionizing Atopic Dermatitis Virtual Conference. I got a chance to speak with lead author Dr. Amy S. Paller of the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine about these new pediatric eczema findings, and it led to a greater talk on how Dr. Paller sees dupilumab playing a role in pediatric allergic care, as well as its odds of receiving yet another supplemental FDA approval, this time for younger atopic dermatitis use later this year. Please enjoy the chat. Dr. Paller, if you don't mind just starting off and telling us a little bit about, there's been a few turns and developments in terms of new Dupixent data, especially for some of these allergic relevant conditions. What is this new data that's being presented tomorrow?
What's so exciting is that for the first time, we're going to be presenting data about Dupixent and its safety and efficacy in the youngest age range reported now, 6 to 11 years of age. As you know, this is a drug that is available for adults and more recently, just about a year ago, became available for adolescents. Now we have very good information about its use in even a younger age group where there are even more patients with atopic dermatitis.
What exactly did we see in terms of benefit and how does it compare maybe to the overall efficacy we've seen for different condition groups of pediatric patients that are being observed right now?
This was a study in 367 children between the ages of 6 and 11 years. And in this study, children were randomized to receive either based on weight, whether they were under 30 or 30 and above. And what we found is that regardless of the dosing that they were on of the dupilumab, for example, 300 milligrams every 4 weeks, or based on weight, 100 or 200 milligrams every 2 weeks, everybody did very well. There were some minor differences in the two groups. The 300 milligrams every four seemed to do a little bit better in the lower weight group. The 200 milligrams in the upper weight group every two, but regardless, everybody did well on it. So no surprises that dupilumab works very well in this age group as well, but obviously it needed to be shown, and there were no new safety signals.
That's excellent. And Dr. Paller, can you tell us a little bit more about this patient population, particularly what their severity of disease is, how long are they been burdened with it? Obviously, quality of life metrics and just understanding the psychiatry condition that goes into issues like atopic dermatitis are pretty relevant. What were these patients presenting with prior to care?
Well, actually, I want to point out that all of the children in this study had severe disease, not moderate or severe disease as we've seen in other studies. And yes, these were children who had, because of their severity, a major impact on them. If you looked at their baseline levels, for example, of CDLQI, the quality of life indicator, we're talking about a level that was really impacting them. We're talking about CDLQIs. I believe the average was about 15. And so these children were severely impacted by their itch, by their sleep issues, by the quality of their life. And again, these were all severely affected children to qualify for this study.
Something that always sticks with me whenever I discuss dupilumab, and again, we cover across all the spectrum of allergic conditions it's being considered for, is a lead investigator telling me when talking about its treatment for chronic rhinosinusitis patients was having one patient who within 2 weeks was able to regain their sense of smell and taste after a decade of not being able to do so. We always seem to be able to highlight the very quick response that's maybe not seen in all, but a portion of patients as just incredibly beneficial, especially for those with severe conditions. Is that something similar we saw here in some patients?
Oh, many of our patients did well. You have to understand that the patients who went into this study were the most severe kids. Of course, many of them had been on a previous immunosuppressing drug, cyclosporin, methotrexate, where they were getting labs on a regular basis, where the parents were very concerned, and in many cases where they were having issues like recurrent infections. In addition, these children, many of them needed these immunosuppressing agents, but were continued and doing poorly on topical medications. And that's why they were put into this trial in the first place. We know that dupilumab is a medication that can be given without all these labs, and we're not terribly worried about the development of infections. The only issues seen in this trial and seen in previous trials were the injection site reactions in a minority of individuals, and then, of course, this slightly increased risk of developing the conjunctivitis. We saw nothing different in this, but what we did see is that many of the children did quite well quite early. That feeling of itch was not uncommonly reduced by 2 weeks and certainly 1 month into this trial, and many of them came back and had clear evidence of improvement very early on. What's interesting is how many, even before we could see changes, had noticed that they felt much better.
Wow. That's great to hear. That's a great relief to see. And I'm sure that's, you know, such a huge benefit for the clinician who may be running out of options, particularly for younger patients. How exactly does this added portfolio to dupilumab, I guess, shape the decision-making of the clinician who's prescribing and caring for these patients?
I think clinicians have a fair amount of experience now with dupilumab and feel comfortable with it and have seen the dramatic results, not in everybody, but in so many of the patients who had been so severely afflicted by atopic dermatitis. Now there's an option that we know can be effective and that really takes away some of the worry about the immunosuppression of alternative agents and the many blood draws. I think the one thing that we have to get past with children is the injections.
Yeah.
But in my experience, that hasn't been a big issue other than the fear up front. Once you get one or two or three, even though it continues to be sometimes a challenge, it's nowhere the problem that is sometimes anticipated up front.
Yeah, it's sort of a double-edged sword, I imagine, with subcutaneous therapy for kids, where obviously there is that stress up front, but it's also reduced reliance on adherence with it being spread apart. So, a little bit of a win-win for both parties at least. But and discussing dupilumab's benefit, like we were saying, across all these other allergic conditions, what else were patients presenting with aside from atopic derm that there may be supplemental benefit for? I'm sure there are some with like asthma or just other relevant conditions.
Yeah, about 90% plus of the patients in this trial with the severe atopic dermatitis had another allergic comorbidity, allergic rhinitis, about 50% with asthma. So I will say that just because they have severe atopic dermatitis doesn't mean that they have severe asthma or allergic rhinitis. Oftentimes it's mild. These were not really gauged in terms of the impact in the trial itself. However, we know that dupilumab is already approved for 12 and above with asthma, and there are trials going on right now in the younger age group. We have evidence that it's helpful as well for allergic rhinitis. Is being tested now for eosinophilic esophagitis and a variety of other eosinophil-related and allergic conditions. So although for most of the patients, it's not going to be the double-edged sword of getting both these conditions in a way that the asthma, for example, might have been life-threatening for all of them. Rather, it's one more benefit that parents can potentially get them off of other medications that may not be as potent as chronic steroids or some of the other agents that are out there, but still are one more thing to do. I also think that we should be aware of the psychological issues that are associated and the psychiatric issues like anxiety, depression. And in so many cases, this is life-changing for children and the families. So those anxiety levels, those depression levels can go way down and were shown to be improved in this particular trial. So these are things that we need to be thinking about as we move forward. I want to add one more burden, and it's not a comorbidity per se, but it's the burden of time. It can take an hour, sometimes longer, for families each time they're putting on medications, they're putting on moisturizers, they're dealing with all of the various aspects of care for someone with severe atopic dermatitis. If you can take a medication that largely gets you clear, then the need to be spending so much time goes way down. So it has really improved the quality of life, not just for the child, but also for the family who no longer is so worried, who no longer has to be dealing with those middle of the night visits to the bedroom and the sleep deprivation, and who no longer has to take as much time as they have with all of the topicals and other agents that are being used right now for the atopic dermatitis.
Yeah, it sort of breaks that cycle of burden developed by the disease, right? That's something that we see with so many chronic conditions, that it inherently gets worse because it's affecting so much of the other livelihood of the patient. So, being able to confidently treat at a younger age, imaginably you're saving the patient from so much more burden over the next coming decade. So that's great to see. And it's great to hear that it's continuing to show benefit for these sort of patients. Dr. Paller, regarding its capability and reaching another marketing approval from the FDA, how confident do you feel with this data combined with, previous research into this?
I'm very confident that the FDA will approve this, hopefully, before the summer. I think a target date is late May. There was absolutely no red flag here, and this is a patient group that needs it so much. That I'm sure that our FDA will help these families out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but it's just another interesting development for a drug that's showing a lot of reach and potential. So that's great to hear. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, these patients who are 6 to 11 years of age are now on open label.
Okay.
Always important to gather the long-term safety and efficacy. But in my own observations, I think they just keep getting better over time. Even beyond the trial itself. So I wanted to make that point as well.
Is there an extended outcome that you guys are seeking?
Obviously, we always want to have these children on drugs as long as we possibly can in trials, because it's the best way to be able to know about safety long term. And for those of us who take care of children with any skin disorder using a systemic agent, we're very concerned and very interested in knowing long term safety results.
Well, for sure, and interested to see what exactly those are when they come to be. So be sure to stay in touch, and thank you so much for your time on this. I really appreciate it.
Sure, and I will say that we're not expecting anything.
Of course.
It's always good to have that data, and thank you so much for taking the time.
For these stories and more, be sure to check out our allergy and dermatology pages on hcplive.com, and look for more remote conference coverage in the coming weeks. I'm Kevin Kunzman, and thanks for listening to Doc Talk.